So right now, if there's no more prayer requests, I'm just going to invite Pastor Rachel to come and join us, have Jane with us. Thank you very much, Pastor Rachel and Jane, for helping us today. We pray God's blessing upon you. In fact, Jane had to walk down today because a car broke down, and she was so determined to be here on a mission that she came down here to be with us, walking with us and helping us today. So what I'd like to do today is just to introduce you to our first of our 12-week series. You would have had now a video, or you should have had a video that was given to you or sent to you via email last Sunday. And every Sunday night I plan to send a video for you to think about for the week, to think about any questions you might have, or to maybe share some testimonies that you might be able to give. Jane is with us today because she responded to that video and said there's something that she feels that she'd like to share. And so Jane's going to help us with question time today. We're going to give you the opportunity to ask questions. You can put them on the chat there. We're also going to do something different today, and we'd like you to help us. So in a minute, we're going to put a straw poll up. And we're going to have two questions throughout today. And the first question is going to be, when we talk about loving God, loving others, loving ourselves, which of these do we find most challenging right now? Which of those do you find most challenging right now? So what we want you to do is, if you've got your phones, you can go on there, do your straw poll. And hopefully in a minute, we'll try and get those results up to have a look at those in a very short time. But part of today, part of this series, is that behind Pastor Rachel there is a bookshelf, and each week we're going to put a little object there to remind us. Today we have this triangle that we're going to be reminding ourselves of, which is our upwards to God, our inwards to our Oasis family, and our outwards to those people that do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just to remind us, and we'll put some objects up there. But to make this as interactive as possible and exciting as possible, we're going to try and ask you to ask us questions beforehand, preferably, so we can prepare, but afterwards or during the service. And if I can't answer them, Pastor Rachel will be able to. And if Pastor Rachel can't, then Jane's going to be answering them. So we're going to be fine. So we've got Robin, Pastor Rachel, and Jane. So there we are. So great. So hopefully you've got your straw poll now. When we talk about loving God, loving others, loving ourselves, which of these do we find most challenging right now? If you could like to do that for us, that'd be great. So the whole purpose of discipleship is to become like Jesus, to behave like him, to live like him. When people see us, we want them to see Jesus. Like Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What I believe is that when people see us as disciples, they see something of Jesus in us. And we want to help other people to become like Jesus too. We talked about being devoted to God as a disciple, a Talmid. A Talmid is a rabbi. A Talmid follows a rabbi, and a rabbi basically is someone that is leads disciples, and a disciple is somebody that is totally devoted to him. And my prayer is at the end of this series, every one of you will have the opportunity to be able to help other people to become a disciple of Jesus too. So one of the comments that came from one of our young ladies at church that helps Joshua with the youth, which is Chantel. I've had Chantel's permission to say this. She said, "This is really good. I'm excited to see what God is going to do through these next 12 weeks. Bless you for the work and dedication that's gone into preparing the series. One thing I've learned on my journey is, because I used to put other people before myself all of the time, it was unhealthy. And I didn't love myself. So God taught me through Mark chapter 12, 31, that I can't give out real love to my neighbors unless I first love myself. So I've had to learn to love myself and have boundaries with people. Thank you, Chantel, for sharing that with us and your journey. So, Rachel, just as we went for that straw poll to come in the video I talked about God's workmanship. I talked about his masterpiece, the poem of God. What does that mean to you, please, Rachel?
Okay, which camera do I look at? That one. Okay. Oh, it's like being on the One Show, isn't it? Not at all. God's poem, God's workmanship, is it's about something that God creates. And a poem and a piece of workmanship, a piece of art, isn't something that's actually necessary in one sense. So, you know, I could go home and I could make dinner, which I probably will, but it's kind of necessary. But if I decided to make that dinner like a sort of a haute cuisine, sort of really delicate and little blobs of sauce and stuff around, you know how they do it on MasterChef, that would be more of a masterpiece. So it kind of goes beyond just what's necessary and what's required. So for me, it's almost about God going over the top and making something that's more than what was just basically necessary. You know, he could have made us all look the same. He could have made us all exactly like sausages out of a sausage machine, if you like. But actually, no, God treated us as individuals. And every masterpiece, every work of art is unique. That's one of the things about it. You know, if you buy a piece of art that's an original, it's going to cost a lot more money than if you buy like a print when they did sort of several runs afterwards. That an artist would do. So, you know, we're unique. So God's poem, God's masterpiece, you know, I am unique. There is no one else like me, thank the Lord, some of you would say. But yeah, we're unique, and that I think is what it means to me.
Thanks, Rachel. What do you think is the, I'm going to ad lib here now, what do you think is the most precious revelation you've had, maybe since you've been at Oasis, of you being precious to God as a masterpiece? Can you think of one example where you felt that God has made you or revealed something that you feel that you're precious and special?
Gosh, ad lib. Yeah. This is why you don't ad lib, Robin. A specific example. Oh, that's really hard. You've really put me on the spot for a specific example.
Come back to it in a minute. Okay. Never think. That's great. Thanks for being so flexible. Jane, I made a comment about a tree's fruitfulness can never exceed its rootfulness. Now, I know rootfulness is not a word in the dictionary, and I'm writing a discipleship book at the moment, and someone that's proofreading it said to me, you do know that that word isn't in the dictionary, and it's not in the dictionary, but it's a great saying. But what does that mean for you, that a tree's fruitfulness can never exceed its rootfulness?
Well, I'm a bit of a gardener, as most of you will know who come to Oasis, and I know that the roots have to go deep in order for, say, for example, a fruit tree. If your roots aren't deep and they're not being fed, then you're not going to get much fruit. And it just reminds me when Jesus said that he is the vine and we are the branches. We need to be attached to him, so to speak, for us to be fruitful. And I know part of that is having time with him and spending time with him, getting to know him. And about 3 years ago, I was coming out of a really difficult time. And he took me to one side, literally. And part of that he was teaching me was about being devoted to him. And I think we were having a church series at the time as well about devotion. And we were having deeper services as well. So that really helped me at the time. But also, I wrote in my journal on the 27th of April, 2018, about something that I'd seen on one of the, it wasn't the God Channel, but it was a similar thing. It was Mike Bickle from the International House of Prayer. And he was teaching about love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That's in Deuteronomy 6. And he was teaching that we get that right first, and then everything else comes after that. Our ministry doesn't come first. Our love for God comes first. And that really spoke to me. And that was part of becoming more devoted to him. So I started to search the scriptures more about who God was. I wanted to get to really know him as a person, as much as following his ways. I really, really wanted to. I had that desire to really get to know him. And that led me down a path of reading my scriptures more, looking for who he is and what his character's like and what his love towards me is like. And out of that also, it led me to a path of discovery of how much he loves me. And he was so good. Part of that discovery was going to Israel, and it was just amazing. So discovering how much God loved me. But really, we need to be rooted. We need to be rooted in our relationship with God. And part of that, for me now, it's really important, is getting into the Word. Because that's where we find God. That's where we find God the Father. That's where we find how much he loves us. And he leads us into other areas where we discover that love in a much deeper way. And that leads to more fruitfulness in your life.
Thank you, Jane. And part of this discipleship course is we are asking you to read plenty of scripture. In fact, on the third section, which I've just recorded this week, there'll be a lot of scriptures in there. We're asking you to go over, to learn them, to write them down in your journal. And over the next 12 weeks, we want roots to go deeper than they've ever been before. For me, our root system is so important. In my garden, when I took down some trees in my garden, the roots came all the way to the front of the house or to the back of the house. We want our roots to be strong in God. You know, when the wind blows and life's tough and the storms of life come, our roots are strong and we won't be uprooted. We've all seen trees that have been uprooted because the roots aren't strong. And the Word of God, it feeds our spirit. It feeds our soul, it encourages us, it teaches us. So I make no apologies, I am going to ask you to learn loads of scriptures, even if you know them, to write them down, to memorize them, and to use a journal later on, which we'll talk about in a minute. Pastor Rachel, did you want to add something to what I asked
you?
Yeah,
see, I've got a slow brain, so I don't ad lib, but give me a couple of minutes. just quickly going back to what Robin said about how, and a specific time when you realised you were special to God. I think a thing that does come to mind really is actually often God reveals himself through people. And I just remember a particular day, it was here at Oasis, probably a couple of years ago, going through a bit of a difficult time because pastors do go through difficult times, you know, that happens too. And randomly, Ruth came over to me and just really encouraged me one day. And I can't even remember exactly what she said. I'm so sorry, Ruth. But it really did encourage me. And I think encouragement's so important. And when Christians encourage you and say, cheer you on, you are on the right path, then you know, actually, that's God speaking to you through them. So, yeah.
Thanks, Rachel. It's really important, you know, as God's family, we hear from God for other people. When we come back in this building, I'm going to pray that you'll look around and see if God will give you a word to encourage people and to help people. It's really important for that. So we can look at the results from Straw Poll 1. And at the moment, we had 34 people that responded. And we'd like as many people as possible to do that if you can. So we had loving others, 50%, 17 voters said the most difficult thing right now is loving others. And of course, that is tough. It's tough when people hurt you. It's tough when people do things to you, say things, behave in a certain way when they should love you and they don't. So loving others. So 47% said loving ourselves. And of course, it is difficult sometimes to love ourselves when we've made mistakes. And we'll all make mistakes. We'll all do things wrong. This is life. We do things, even in the best intentions. We can start out trying to do our best, but we can do things wrong. We can make mistakes. We can sin again. This is part of our fallen nature. But Loving ourselves is really important. Jesus died on the cross for us so that we could love ourselves, to accept ourselves as God sees us. When God looks at us, loving ourselves, when God looks at us, he sees something beautiful and precious. And you know, if Jesus can forgive us, then we need to forgive ourselves. And today you may be thinking, I just can't forgive myself. I've tried it, I just can't. Do you know, you can. Because if you think about what Jesus did on that cross for you, that he loved you that much and he's forgiven you, then give yourself a break. And Jane, in a minute, I'm going to ask you just to pray for people just that might need to just forgive themselves. Would you be happy to do that? And Rachel, in a minute, would you just pray for those people that might need to pray to forgive other people? That would be good. And we had one person loving God. Someone's struggling at the moment to love God and not sure what that is or what's going on there. Maybe you feel a bit let down or angry about something. I know somebody was telling me the other day they felt angry about something. And we do in life. We do feel like sometimes, is God listening? Is he there? But he's there for you. He's there right now for you. And he loves you. And he is in control. And maybe it's time to just grasp hold of his garment and just say, do you know what, God, even though I don't see what's happening at the moment, hey, I'm going to trust you. And, you know, Jesus came back for that one person. I know it's just one vote, one person that said that. But the story of the 99 and the 100 sheep, Jesus came for the one. And I'm just in my spirit now. I want to say to you, Jesus is coming. He's seeking you out. And he wants to help you today. So I pray that today will be a blessing for you. May God richly bless you as you seek God and as allow God minister to you today. Jane, if you could pray for those about loving themselves.
Father, we just thank you that you love us so much. And Lord, sometimes it's so difficult to understand how much you love us and when we can't even love ourselves. Father, I know how that feels. So my heart goes out to anybody that's feeling that way right now. And Lord, I lift them to you and I ask, Father, yeah. Lord, that you would just reveal how much you love them. Lord, help them to get the right perspective on the situations, Father, where they feel they can't forgive themselves. Help them to know how much they are forgiven by you. Lord, that you don't require payment because it's paid in full by Jesus. So, Father, Lord, I lift them to you. Lord, reveal how much you love them. Release them from it, Father, I pray. Give them peace of mind. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And, Father, we pray for those who are struggling to forgive other people and to love others. God, it's so difficult when we're hurt, particularly if we're really deeply hurt. Because we make the decision to forgive, but the feelings sometimes just do not match up with what we've decided in our minds, God, and it can bring us down. And I just pray for anyone struggling to love others or perhaps struggling to love one specific person in their world right now. And God, I pray that you will just show them a key to releasing that situation, Father. Maybe they need to pray for that person. Maybe they need to bless that person. Maybe they need to step beyond how they feel about that person and reach out. And I pray, God, you will show each one of us the key to just break the root of the bitterness that can grow if we don't forgive one another. I ask it in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, ladies. In a minute, there's another straw poll that will come up for you. We're just doing two today. This is just to introduce you to them so that we can try and get some interaction with you. The question will be, do you currently do any type of Bible journaling now? Do you currently do any type of Bible journaling now? And that'll be yes or no. It'll be one of two answers. I want to ask you a question for those of you that are listening right now. It's a very serious question I want to ask you. What is the difference, the way you live your life now, after you had the life-changing encounter with Jesus? So how is your life different now before you met Jesus? What has God done in your life now? How are you different as a disciple of Jesus than you were before? Have you behaved? Do you behave differently? What kind of things do you do differently now? I want you to think about that question for a minute. I want you to write down at some point after this service. And the reason I want you to do that is because I want you to use it as a source of encouragement where you've moved to, where you've moved from, and where you are today. Now, none of us are perfect, and none of us will ever be perfect this side of heaven. But there are ways that we can thank God and look back over our life with the way we're different now. So I know when I was a young person, because of situations I found myself in, I became very angry about situations. But now I'm a lot calmer. I don't feel the same way. I don't behave the way I did before. Might go more into that detail another time, but won't do that right now. Okay, so write that down and think about those things. I'd like you to do that in this section. So the purpose of being a disciple, I've put, is a learner. That we continue to learn throughout our life on this earth. You know, I'm a pastor now. I've been a pastor since Noah, a long time. Rachel's been a pastor now. How many years have you been a pastor, Rachel?
Including MIT?
Yes.
Five,
okay. How long have you been a Christian, Joan?
Since December 1987.
So that's quite a long time.
Yeah, over 30 years.
Over 30 years.
A long, long journey.
And the thing is, we never stop learning. And the beautiful thing about the Word of God, as we study it, we keep rereading it. We learn new things. This is a wonderful thing about the Word of God. And just because I've been a pastor here for 21 years doesn't mean to say I stopped learning, that I know it all. And in fact, I realize how little I do know. And how it's important for me to continue to learn. So as disciples, we need to continue to learn and to be lifelong learners. And I'm praying that we will be single-minded and passionate about being like Jesus. We did a devotion series that Jane talked about. I think it was over 14 months that we did it. We did it over a long time. And my prayer is that we will be devoted. And I'm glad that that helped you, Jane. And God's timing is perfect. And for you, that was the right time for you to move forward. And I'm praying that God will right now move us all forward together. That we'll learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. That we will hear his voice. And the Holy Spirit will lead us and help us and teach us. So just because we've been a Christian for a long time. Or a pastor for 5 years. Or a Christian for 30 years. Over 30 years. We don't stop learning. We read the communion verse this morning, or the chapter this morning, and it never ceases to amaze me. I've read it hundreds of times. I've led hundreds of communion services, yet there's something now that's burning in my heart about that scripture that's on my heart. So we're going to ask you to do your straw poll now. If you've done that, that'd be great. I'll see what the results are that are starting to come in for that. Okay, so there's no questions, I don't think, that are posted online. Let me just have a quick look to see if there are. I can't see any questions posted online. So what we would like you to do in the future is to help us by doing that, and we'll see what goes on. But the question I have for you then today is, are you willing to become his masterpiece? Are you willing and ready right now to allow God to make something beautiful and precious out of your life? You might not think he can. For those of you that said you struggle with loving yourself, you might think, well, God, how can God use me, or how could God want to use me? What I want to challenge you today is, are you ready to allow him to put your ideas aside, to put your thoughts aside about what you think and allow what God wants to do in your life? Are you ready to become a poem of God? He's starting to write on your page something about you, the kind of person you're going to be. Are you willing to become his masterpiece? Okay, so we've had the results in. Do you currently do any type of Bible journaling now? Now, you'll see in the teaching that I send out tonight, that I Bible journal. Andy, don't know if you can see that on the camera, but this was given to me by someone from church quite a few years ago now, actually. And I have, in fact, they buy me one quite often, if not every year. And I use a Bible journal myself to write down scriptures when God's speaking to me. When God's saying something and it sort of hits me in my heart and I go, do you know what? I need to explore this a little bit more. I need to find out a little bit more. And, you know, just leading communion, when I read those scriptures, as I said before, God's doing something in my heart about scripture and I'm trying to find out some stuff. But I write in my journal and I use this journal. I'll explain a little bit more in a minute. Okay, so of the 32 people that posted, 56.25% said that they didn't, and 43.75% said that they did. So nearly 50% on each. Now, the reason I'm asking you to journal, and you can do it in any way you want, is because I want over these next 12 weeks to hear what God says to you. What is God saying into your life? What is God doing in your life? What is he speaking to you through his Holy Spirit? And we'll look back over these 12 weeks and you'll be able to use that in your discipleship program to teach other people how God speaks to you and other things. So I use this journal. My wife Esther and Luma and others have a journal Bible and they take their Bible and they draw in it and they write scriptures and colour in it and all kinds of things to help them. So Jane, you journal.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
How often do you journal, just a matter of interest, would you say?
It can be a bit sporadic. But I did write something yesterday, something that I felt the Lord was saying to me. But I find it really helpful if I'm looking at the scriptures and I feel like God has said something to me to write it down, because I just forget, especially at my age now, just forget everything. And also I find it useful to read back over some of the stuff from years ago, like reminders. I know that doesn't work for everybody. People journal in different ways, as you've just said. But whatever it is, get it down somehow, because it's really helpful. And it's helpful for me as well to see how far I've come, how I've changed. You're talking about how you've changed. Yeah. You know, and the deeper learning that you get as you go along as well. You might, for instance, like you said, you might read a scripture and it means one thing, but then the Lord takes you into a deeper meaning of it or a deeper revelation of it, and you can see that journey. So I find it very useful. And it helps me to sort stuff out in my head too. And it's a conversation, actually, that I have with God. So it's about writing down that conversation. And it helps me sort it out and get it right.
Yeah.
And then to apply it to what I'm doing in life.
Yeah, great. One of the things I do is when I'm praying for something in my family's life, for those people that I love, and I write it down. And when God answers, I know.
Yeah.
I write down and go, thank you, Lord, for answered prayer. So that helps me. Rachel, is there anything else you want to add to anything about what we've looked at the subject today?
I think it's important to say, to really stress that journaling can be different for different people.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I journal in the in the same way as what's perhaps being described. I mean, my pattern is that I some of you know because you read my devotions because I put them on Facebook and send them on email, but I would tend to work through a book of the Bible at a time, usually a chapter or just a reading, and read it through a couple of times, sometimes two or three times, sometimes different versions, excuse me, and then just ask God to kind of highlight one verse or sometimes two or three verses, and then I write a sort of an observation and an application on that, and then I write a prayer, and then I choose a worship song from YouTube that kind of fits with that theme, and that's what I've been doing for quite a long time. So that may not be considered... I don't tend to write my own personal thoughts about my life so much. I do sometimes, but I tend to pick out the big occasions and make notes of those in that sense. I think sometimes because I've sometimes looked back and I tend to cringe and want to stick my head in a bag and hope no one ever reads it, you know. So maybe that's just me to protect myself. But so I just make sure that I do that daily, what I've described. But in terms of the personal, like I really feel God's spoken to me about this, that might be a little bit more sporadic as and when I feel God's said something really specific in terms of my future. I'm more of a forward looker than a backward looker, I think. Not that, I mean, it's good to look back. It's really good to reflect. So maybe that's something I need to change. But yeah, that's me. That's how I would define journaling for me, which might just be a bit different.
For everybody. Everybody does things in a different way. I think what I'm asking just for these 12 weeks to try and get people to do is write down some of these scriptures that we're studying, seeing how God speaks at this 12-week period. But I want people to feel led by the Spirit to do it however they want to.
I can probably look back 12 weeks without cringing. It's when you go back 5 years and you think, what was I thinking?
Yeah. And I'm not asking everybody to do this all the time, but just for a season to see what God's saying. I realise those straw polls aren't ideal for everybody because some households you might just be able to just respond for one of you. But we're just trying to get a bit of a flavour and idea for doing that. And we try to be more precise in the way we put the questions out for you. Jane, is there anything you want to expand on anything today?
Yeah, when you just said about being spirit-led in your journaling. And I think we're all different, as Rachel was saying. And so we all express things in a different way. And journaling might not be about writing for you. It could be drawing a picture. It could be a series of paintings or drawings. It could be, you know, we're all creative. We may not think that we're creative, but we are. We express ourselves in one way or another. And so, you know, it's just actually just making a record, and you can make that record in whatever creative way you can.
Yeah, I think we are, like you said, we all do. I mean, there's one particular thing that's just come to mind, because sometimes things do just come to my mind. Something I felt God said to me, this must be 4 or 5 years ago, something I felt God promised me, and I'm not going to go into details because this is public, but there was a particular verse in the Bible that went with this promise, and there was a particular object in this verse, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go for a walk tomorrow into the town. I was working in Birmingham at the time, and I'm going to see if I can find this particular object in a shop and buy it as a reminder what I feel God said. And I walked for quite a long way down New Street, but I did find a shop selling this particular object, and I bought it, and I still have the object. At the moment, that promise hasn't been fulfilled, which is why I'm not being public about it. But, you know, just to say, for me, in a way, that was a kind of a journaling. I remember the moment. I remember roughly when it was, because I still have that object. And I feel like the day that promise is fulfilled, I will actually either give that object away, or I will, you know, I will get rid of it, because I'll be like, okay, that it's just a reminder for now while I'm waiting for the fulfilment of that promise.
Thank you, ladies. In a minute, Pastor Rachel's just going to pray for us. But before we do, I just want us to still our hearts for a minute where we are. We're just going to invite the Holy Spirit to come to you right now and just to speak to you about anything that he wants to do. And if you're not used to doing this, or this might seem strange for you, you might even not be a Christian at the moment, thinking, well, what does this mean for me? I want you to keep connecting with us, because the Holy Spirit is working on your life, and he's speaking to you right now, and he's leading you to a point where you will know Jesus in a very powerful way. And so for everybody right now, just for a minute, just before Pastor Rachel prays for us, let's still invite the Holy Spirit just to come and speak to our lives in any way that he wants to. That's God speaking to us, connecting with us, his Spirit connecting with our spirit right now.
Father God, we just invite your Holy Spirit to come. We know that when we believe in you, we have the Holy Spirit within us, but I just pray for just a new outpouring of your Spirit on everyone who's taking part in this service in whatever way. And Father, if there's anyone watching today who doesn't know you as Lord and Saviour, is not a Christian, but is just investigating that, And maybe a lot of the words we use and the things we say may be confusing, complicated, but God, I just pray that for those people that they will start the journey, God, that they will, at the beginning of this new year, at a time that is very, very difficult in our world, they will turn to you, they will look to you for answers, and they will want to begin that journey towards knowing you too. And Father, for those who've known you for many years, I just pray that we won't think, oh, well, this is simple stuff, we know all this, we've done this before, but we will engage with this in a fresh way. We will ask you to help us to learn. God, we want to be devoted to you. We want to give you, we want to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. And we want to love each other and we want to love ourselves in a healthy way too. So Father, I pray as we really commence this series that you will help each one of us. You will be with us. You will speak to us by your Spirit. You'll interrupt our day daily, God, with your word and thoughts from you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Rachel, I just want to thank you for the way you've done the devotions. It's over a year now that you've done them. You've
been
very faithful.
Nearly a year. It's about 11 months.
Yeah. Well, it seems like more, but I've got them all. I do them every day. And I want to thank you for all the hard work. People don't understand how much time it takes. And I know it takes a lot of time, but I know you've touched a lot of people's lives. So
and if anyone wants the devotions, wants to sign up, you just email me, rachel@oasisredditch.church, and I'll send them to you. That's or great. Look at the Facebook page, which you could like. This is now an advert, sorry.
Yeah, it's a good way to connect and engage. Pastor Rachel, can I ask you to go and stand at the keyboard and get ready to lead us in our next worship song, which we're looking forward to. Jane, if you just want to stay there for a minute. Okay, so tonight you will receive an email from me with part two of our discipleship. And that will be on living the best life, and that will be a change of heart. And so we're looking at the subject, a change of heart. Again, we'll send you that out. We'd like you to send any questions to us, discuss them in your life groups. I'll send some notes with those ones. I was remiss with the first lot, but I will do that at this point. So just before Rachel leads us in worship now, the comment that I made last time was, let the transformation of a lifetime begin. Are you ready now to allow God to transform you into a person you've never been before, into the person he's created you to be? Thank you, Pastor Rachel.